It's The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, a reporter at WNYC, in for Tanzina Vega. Anti-Asian violence spiked across the U.S. during the COVID-19 pandemic, fueled in part by the racist and xenophobic rhetoric we've heard over the last 4 years and beyond. On Thursday, President Joe Biden signed the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act into law. It aims to address the uptick in hate crimes targeting the Asian American and Pacific Islander population.
All of this hate hides in plain sight. It hides in plain sight. And too often, it is met with silence. Silence by the media, silence by our politics, and silence by our history.
The legislation passed in the House earlier this week and received overwhelming support in the Senate last month. Here's Congresswoman Judy Chu, one of the bill's co-sponsors, speaking on Tuesday.
What is it like to open up the newspaper every day and see that yet another Asian American has been assaulted, attacked, and even killed? Well, when you read that every single day, and see that there are 6,600 of them, and that's probably an underreporting, then you start to think, well, will I be next?
According to Stop AAPI Hate, an organization tracking racist incidents against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, there have been more than 6,600 reported incidents of anti-Asian discrimination since last year. That includes everything from physical violence and verbal harassment to bullying and vandalism. The last piece of federal hate crimes legislation was the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act from back in 2009, which sought to address hate crimes based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and more. So what exactly does the new COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act mean for the AAPI population? Let's talk about it. With me now is Congresswoman Judy Chu, who represents California's 27th District. She's also the chair of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus. Congresswoman Chu, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So tell us why this piece of legislation is significant. Is it both symbolic and concrete in what it does?
It is actually concrete in providing relief to so many Asian Americans across the country, but also to all hate crime victims in this country. And I was so overwhelmed and gratified to be there in the White House at this important moment in history when this bill was signed into law. For over a year, the AAPI community has experienced fear, anxiety, and terror due to anti-Asian hate crimes. But finally, we have a bill that will provide relief. It provides for a designated person in the Department of Justice to expedite the prosecution of hate crimes. It issues guidance to all jurisdictions, local, state, and tribal, on the ability to establish online reporting and the way in which to conduct culturally relevant and linguistically appropriate public education campaigns with communities on hate crimes. And it includes the No Hate Act, which I am a co-lead, which will improve the ability to collect hate crime statistics and also provide resources to governments, local governments, so that they can actually have training and resources to improve their enforcement of hate crimes in their local jurisdiction, and also provide for state-run hotlines for victims.
Was this all in a direct response to the rise in anti-Asian violence over the past year, the rhetoric over the past 4 or 5 years, or was it more than that?
Well, the anti-Asian hate crimes started in the last year with the rise of President Trump's rhetoric, where he exacerbated the anti-Asian hate by using the terms China virus, Wuhan virus, and Kung Flu. So this is how we ended up with 6,600 anti-Asian hate crimes. And let me tell you that we wouldn't have even known about the 6,600 had it not been for nonprofits that stepped up to establish an anti-Asian hate crime reporting site. That just showed how seriously lacking our federal hate crime reporting system is. Actually, it was way back in 1990 when the FBI was mandated to collect hate crime statistics, but they relied on local jurisdictions to voluntarily provide that information. Well, out of the 15,000 local law enforcement agencies, only 15% ever reported to the FBI. So you can imagine how faulty our hate crime reporting system is, and you could run holes through it. That's why this bill was so needed, so that we can improve the national system for reporting such crimes, but also provide resources to local law enforcement so that they can get the proper training and policies that will help them to address hate crimes.
Yeah, part of this just seems to be getting a handle on how big of a problem this is. We don't even really know how often this happens, right?
We do not. And if you don't have accurate statistics, then you don't know how to solve the problem. And just to demonstrate how bad the system was, Khalid Jabara and Heather Heyer's families were there yesterday. Heather Heyer was killed by the white supremacists in Charlottesville, and Khalid Jabara was killed by his next-door neighbor who hated him because he was Arab. And the local jurisdiction never reported this to the FBI as a hate crime.
Wow. You know, one limitation here seems to be how Congress defines a hate crime. The majority of recent incidents against the AAPI population, as I understand it, have been verbal harassment, which isn't necessarily a hate crime, right?
It is not. And in fact, most of the 6,600 hate crimes and incidents are really hate incidents where it's a verbal assault of some sort. But I think we have to have some ability to also track the hate incidents and stop the law enforcement personnel from just turning away somebody who's the victim of a terrible verbal assault and say, I can't do anything for you. We need to have some way of also tracking that. And that's what I hope that this hate crime bill will do.
A number of Asian American, also LGBTQ organizations, including Stop AAPI Hate, have raised concerns about the new hate crime legislation, saying that it doesn't get at the root cause of the violence. Is there legislation that can tackle the root cause of these hate crimes and hate incidents?
President Biden was so passionate yesterday and so eloquent in talking about what the root cause is, which is our attitudes. It is our desire to deal with hate crimes and to have communication and understanding of one another. The root cause has to do with how we interact with each other in the society. And the change starts when people at the very top say stop to this hate. And President Biden did that, which, by the way, was a sea change from, of course, the previous year, in which the president actually exacerbated the hate crimes that were occurring against AAPIs. And in fact, we tried to have some communication with President Trump and tried to meet with the Department of Justice for an entire year, but were ignored. So President Biden changed things tremendously when he came in and expressed his strong condemnation of hate crimes and also the resources of the Department of Justice in addressing this. So from the very top, he changed things. And what we need to do as a nation is respond to that strong call to stop these hate crimes, not only against AAPIs, but against anybody who is the victim of scapegoating and blaming in this country.
63 Republicans in the House did not vote in favor of this bill. What was their justification, and what were your conversations with them like about this?
Yes, it was very disturbing. They said things like hate crimes should not be distinguished from other crimes. They should be just treated like any crime. There was also some who said that this turns the federal government into the speech police, giving the government sweeping authority to decide what counts as offensive speech. Actually, it didn't expand the authority of the federal government to monitor police. So this person was greatly mistaken. And then there were those who just didn't want to vote for it because of the implication that it would blame Trump. But actually, the bill doesn't mention Trump in any way. So that was not a legitimate complaint that they should have had. Hmm.
Before I let you go, Congresswoman, can you just describe how Asian Americans in this country right now are feeling? Are they changing their behavior because out of concern that they could be beaten up or attacked on the streets? And what's it like?
So for the whole past year, there have been these terrible attacks and assaults reported. But in this last year, there were even more assaults against the elderly, against the vulnerable, against two elderly Asian women sitting at a bus stop in San Francisco when a man attacks them, stabbing them with knives in the chest, requiring the 84-year-old to go to the hospital and get surgery. This is the kind of thing that is terrorizing the community. People are concerned for their grandmothers and grandfathers, but they also have been waking up every day saying, will I be next?
It's horrifying, and we'll wait to see what this legislation can do to keep this community and all communities as safe as possible. Congresswoman Judy Chu represents California's 27th District. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.